This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Sean Spellman of the band Quiet Life is based in Portland, Oregon, but he grew up in New London. Now he's in our Studio 3 to play some music for us.
Hey Mary, it's an early day. Got a man I can't relate. Got a kid they're gonna take away if you say the wrong thing. Hey baby, try to make it right. Try to leave with another guy. Try to go when the moon is high and the lights are all down. Yeah, you've been working, you've been pouring drinks. You've been trying out some other things. You've been staying out too late, I think. But who am I to care? You know I try to be an honest man, but you've been coming home at 3 a.m. You've been holding with a shaky hand. Something isn't right. I can see her hair blowing in the wind. I did some things that I will regret on the day that I go. She's got a reason to go, I guess. She's gonna leave on the day she said. I did some things that I will regret on the day that I die. I know Jackie's got a better job, but I'm telling you that's all he's got. Saw him down at the liquor stop, just like your old man. When you ask me how I'm getting by, it is true, you've been on my mind. I've been easy on the bottle life, you said that I should. Got a face that I won't forget. I can see her hair blowing in the wind. I did some things that I will regret on the day that I die. She's got a reason to go, I guess. Yeah, she's gonna leave on the day she said. I did some things that I will regret on the day that I go. Got some clothes and the keys you left. Yeah, I've got your dress underneath my bed if you want it back. But I'll be gone if you are stopping by. Crack the door and I'll leave the light. Yeah, I'll make the bed and I'll draw the blinds if you wanna come home. If you wanna come home. Thank you.
That's Sean Spellman from the band Quiet Life playing here in our Studio 3 on Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Sean is in Hartford to do a segment for Idlewild Creations video series, The Old Guitar, the Hartford Denim Workshop. We'll talk a bit more about that. We'll be posting that video on WNPR.org a little bit later. His band, Quiet Life, is getting ready for a big tour all across seemingly the world. They've toured in the past with the Lumineers, Alabama Shakes, Dr. Dog, and Dawes, and they're heading out on the road with The Head and the Heart, a great band, in October, November, even heading to Alaska. And we're thrilled to have Sean in studio with us, talk a bit about some of his connections to Connecticut and some of this great new music that's coming out on an LP called Wild Pack. That's October 29th for a release date. Sean, welcome to Where We Live. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, just tell us about that song. Where's that song come from?
Oh, that song comes from a real dreary, wet Portland winter, living in a basement. That's where it comes from. I wrote that for... I originally started writing it for a friend of mine who was going through some issues with his wife, and I wanted to write a song for him because his wife is a singer, and she got to write a whole record about their situation, so I figured that he needed some fuel of his own. But when I finished writing it, I realized it was just completely autobiographical.
It turns out that way sometimes,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, that's how it goes, I think.
Yeah. So you're in Portland, and your band, Quiet Life, works in Portland, Oregon. Now, how'd you end up there? We're going to talk a bit about your new London roots later on in the show, but how'd you end up out there?
Kind of on a whim. We were living in California, a town called San Luis Obispo, and playing a lot of music, and we ended up moving to LA for like a brief stint because a producer that we made our last record with was from there or was living there at the time, and he convinced us to go down there. We lasted about a month, and one day at lunch we decided it wasn't really the town for us, so we split the next week, drove up to Portland. I had never been to Portland before, and you know, we've been there ever since pretty much, and it's been good to us. So
what's the music scene like in Portland? Is it anything for those of us who live out there, like just watching a Portlandia episode? I mean, is it really just like that?
Yeah, it is. There's some eerie similarities. Driving similarities are so right on. It's hilarious, but yeah, it's good. It's there's a lot of artists and musicians living there. It's affordable. It's beautiful. If you can get through the rain, then it's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of rain, and there's sort of the sense that there's a certain dreariness to the winters and maybe a dreariness that comes out of some of the music there. I mean, do you find the place where you are affecting the music you're writing? Like when you were down in California, you were writing different songs than when you're up in the rain in Portland?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was in California, I was writing songs that were like... And I got to Portland, I was like... Yeah, it's like, it changed a little bit. But the summers are beautiful in Portland. The summers are, you know, clear, no humidity, sunny for like two straight months. It's very drastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good time to hole up in the winter and get some stuff done, you know.
Well, what about the East Coast to West Coast thing? I mean, coming from the East Coast, it's a different pace. It's a different style of life. Have you found it's changed you at all, being a band out on the West Coast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, how?
I think I lost a little bit of my my New England-ness, I guess you could call it. I stopped worrying about certain things, I guess. I started driving a little slower, talking a little slower. Yeah, when I'd come back here, it's funny, I would come back, you know, for holidays or whenever, on tour or whatever, and I'd find myself talking more quickly. So I'd go back to Portland, and I just feel like I had like a one-up on everybody, conversation-wise.
Moving ahead of the pack.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I go out to the West Coast, the one thing I always notice is that when there's a don't walk sign, nobody walks. Nobody goes across the street. And I don't understand. I'm like, there's no traffic coming. Just walk across the street. This is what being on the East Coast too long does to you, and it is a totally different vibe, isn't it?
It's a delicate balance, for sure. Yeah.
Well, tell me about the band Quiet Life. How did you guys come together? How did you start playing together?
Well, we've been a band for years, pretty much since I was in college. And it was just pretty much three friends playing music. And eventually it got a little bit more serious. And I guess it just progressed like any band does, really. We just started touring and started playing and writing all the time. And next thing we knew, it was all that we were doing, you know.
Is it the sort of group that came together around shared influences, shared types of music that you were listening to, and what was the thing that bound you together at first?
I think initially we just wanted to play music, you know. I wasn't even an original member of the band, which was funny. It started as Craig, our guitar player, and my brother Ryan playing drums, and years and years ago. And then when I came back from school, I ended up playing with those guys, and it's just been like one of those things, you know. My brother and I have played music forever, so it's just a real like natural progression. But yeah, things have changed a lot over the years as well, you know.
Well, and we'll talk about some of those changes as we talk with Sean Spellman from Quiet Life. They're a band that's heading back out on the road in October, November with The Head and the Heart. They're touring all over America. They're up in Alaska later on in September. Their latest LP is coming out in October. It's called Wild Pack. Maybe you can play another song for us. What are we going to hear next?
I could play that song about New London if you want to hear that one.
I'd love to hear that. I'll tell you what, let's hear New London, and then we'll talk a little bit about you growing up there.
Okay, great. This is sort of my ode to New London, a farewell ode. When you drive down Main Street in a passing car, there's nothing to do that's not a cold, dark bar. Yeah, that much I know. No neon lights, no movie stars. It's just the same old place where your weekend starts on a Friday night. Well, he likes whiskey and she takes a gin. Come on, mama, we're gonna do it again. And we split when the coast is clear. Through the alley in the parking lot, we'll go up round the back to the old rooftops. We'll get a good look around. But all I see are big ideas, boarded up shops after all these years. Yeah, my home. Had a belly full of liquor and she had his baby from there, one night stand, and then he had to go. He picked it up, put it down again, but one bad habit got the best of him. God bless his soul. And when shots rang out and then his baby cried out front of Ernie's bar, New London on a Friday night.
There's a downtown strip that's got a bit of soul. Loneliness that makes your heart grow cold. Yeah, night after night. Whiskey River and a flood of sin. Come on boy, don't let it do you in. Although it may try. There's no need to make a fuss. There's plenty of room here for both of us. Yeah, in this small town. And the band keeps playing till the final call. They all had too much alcohol, but it's alright. Yeah, it's alright. Yeah, this is New London on a Friday night.
Sean Spellman from the band Quiet Life playing a song about his hometown, New London. We're going to take a break here on Where We Live. We'll come right back and talk a bit about that song, about growing up in New London and their tour across America here right now with a brand new record coming out in October called Wild Pack. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Today, we're in our Studio 3 and we're hearing a little bit of music and talking with Sean Spellman. He's the front man of the band Quiet Life, and quietlifeband.com is where you can find out more about their music. They've got a record coming out in October called Wild Pack. They have another album from back in 2011 called Big Green, a little bit more acoustic record. We'll maybe talk about some of these changes in their sound over time. He's going to be doing a segment for Idlewild Creations video series, The Old Guitar, at the Hartford Denim Workshop coming up. We'll be posting stuff to our website, WNPR.org. Just before the break, we heard a song about your hometown, New London, and boy, I know a lot of people in New London. We've done a lot of shows in New London, and I know the town pretty well. It could, for better or for worse, be kind of a theme song for the town. First of all, where does that song come from for you?
You know, it's kind of a heavy tune because I left New London, and one of the things that prompted me to leave was some of the violence that was happening downtown, a specific incident which the song is about, in front of a place called Ernie's. And that was kind of the turning point when I just realized, like, I got to get out of here. You know, I got to just leave right now for however long it may be. I just need to change things up. And then when I got out to California and I was actually writing the song, I realized it was just kind of more of a it was talking about how much I love New London, you know, and all the things that I hated I also loved, aside from certain specific incidences. But I wanted to write something that just kind of summed up where my roots were from, and I don't know, I feel like I got a better one in me, a better song in me about New London, and hopefully it'll come soon, but I'm all right with this one for now.
Well, you know, when we hear, you know, all I see are big ideas, boarded up shops after all these years, that's the story that we hear about, not just that town, but so many of these small cities in Connecticut and in New England, places that have never, for whatever reason, come back mm-hmm. from a heyday, and it's sad, but it also tends to draw people that we know pretty well and who we've highlighted on the show before, who are really, really committed to, like, wanting to turn the place around. Yeah. And that's what's one of the really weird things about a place like New London is everyone knows that the song that you're singing is the truth, but then there's people who are just like, yeah, I got to, like, stay and turn the place around, too.
Yeah, I mean, when I first wrote that song, I was afraid that people were going to take offense to it, you know, and I didn't want people to think that I was thinking, you know, I was better off because I got out of New London or anything. It's more of a hopeful song, you know, and I kind of just wanted to put it out there, and I wanted people to start maybe thinking about that more and about taking more steps to change the town because it has such potential, you know, as many small New England towns like that do. So I hope when more people hear that, especially people from New London, I hope they maybe it's kind of something that will motivate them to do anything to turn the town around in the right direction.
But what I think is so cool too, and you see this happening in places around America, is that when a place falls on hard times and when there's boarded up storefronts, what happens? The artists come in and the musicians come in. There's an amazing rock and roll scene. There has been for decades in New London, but it's almost like a tough place like that can be a crucible for some really good art in the
Absolutely.
Way that just a suburb can't, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing with New London. It's nurturing tons of artists and musicians for a reason, and that might not be the case if it turns into a fancy little downtown. But, you know, I'm not saying it needs to turn into that, but I think that some of the people who are doing the most good in New London are the artists and musicians. And if it weren't for them, the town would be in a little bit more of a rough spot, I think.
A little bit about you singing about New London made me think about Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
and there's a lot, honestly, as I'm listening through to the songs that you write, there's an awful lot of the Springsteen themes. I mean, New London is a song that, you know, resonates to me in the storytelling a lot, you know, the way Atlantic City does. You know, these great
cool
Springsteen tunes. And he also writes a lot about, obviously, breaking away, heading out on the road. Is he an influence for you, either
Absolutely.
Directly? Yeah, tell me about
for
that
sure.
a little bit.
I grew up on the Jersey Shore,
yeah.
So Bruce is one of my biggest influences. And, I just love the way that he can relate to everybody, regardless of his background. And I try to do the same thing. You know, I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I'm just trying to write songs that people can relate to and people can enjoy. And Bruce is the king of that, you know, so...
We're talking with Sean Spellman from the band Quiet Life. They've got a new record coming out in October called Wild Pack. Talk about being out on the road. You guys play a lot of shows, it seems, and you write songs about being on the road. Talk about that feeling of being out there with a band, how exactly that works. You know, every time we talk to a band, we have to talk about this, you know, life amongst your brothers on the road. It's got to get irritating sometimes. I'm sure there's got to be a lot of really cool stuff as well. Talk about that experience that you have all the time when you're on the road.
It's like being on the road with five wives. All the benefits and all the terrible things.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, I think personally for me, I feel like when we're on the road, it's like that's when we're getting the work done. You know, aside from being in the studio and writing and recording, like, you really feel like what you're doing is moving forward when you're touring, because you're in. And even if our thing has always been, you know, we'll play anywhere we can play. And if you show up into a town you've never been to before and five people buy your record or enjoy your music, it's a rewarding thing to do. So, you know, we've just tried to hit the road hard and play as many places as possible. And I think it's finally starting to pay off in the sense where, you know, we can go back to places again, second time. And we have friends all over the country, and, you know, it may not be a financial success, but it's definitely a very, very rewarding, you know, to know people in small towns all over the country.
Does it help for you being out on the road right now that it seems as though you're part of a thing? You're part of a movement of bands that have a blend of kind of rootsy music, playing banjos and slide guitars. And we were just talking on the Colin McEnroe show with a local band, Poor Old Shine.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
That is going out and on the road. And it's the same thing. They're part of a movement that wasn't there a couple years ago. Do you feel like you're part of something right now?
I think it's cool that a certain type of music is being more widely accepted, and that's definitely helping us. I don't really like being summed up into a particular movement, you know, but it's great because I like hearing real instruments on the radio again. and, you know, we always get comparisons to bands like the Lumineers, who we like a lot, and Mumford and Sons, who... I'm not particularly well versed in their music, but it's not a bad thing at all, you know.
But and I guess that's the point is you can go out on the road. I mean, you've toured with the Lumineers or with Alabama Shakes. You're playing with the Head and the Heart, another band that sort of falls into that category, that broad category. You as an artist, you probably don't want to be lumped in as any sort of specific type of music, but at least people can find you. They can, you know, lack of a better thing, go on Pandora and say, hey, if I like that, I sure like that as well. And that's something that you didn't used to be able to do, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've definitely noticed in the past couple of years, there's a lot, when we go on tour, a lot of the local bands have a similar sound now, and that wasn't always the case. You know, like 5 or so years ago, we would play with punk bands and things like that. But now, like, people are playing more rootsy style music, which is great. You know,
and you can play it in more places. You can play in a small venue, and you can sound great. You don't have to fill up the room with all sorts of amplifiers if you're playing a certain type of music.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing I wanted to ask you about getting out on the road, though, we saw this short video. It's very, very cool. So you guys tour. This is almost another Portlandia episode here.
but you
tour in a van fueled by vegetable oil.
Yep. Yes, we do.
Tell me more about that.
So we got a Ford E350 Econoline, big green van. It's an old cargo van that we converted and built out, and we had a friend of ours in Portland do the vegetable oil conversion for us, and we've put about 75,000 miles on it in the past year and a half. We've burned thousands of gallons of waste vegetable oil, and it's pretty much the reason that we can tour. You know, we can fill up anywhere, and it's good. It's definitely a Portlandia episode for sure.
Well, so how does it work? You show up and you ask, can I have your vegetable grease? How does it work?
Yeah, we have some spots throughout the country where we have friends that give us grease, or places that we know that we hit. You know, there's a particular place in West Texas because, you know, there's not much out there, so we rely on this one steakhouse.
Yeah, you better have a place to stop.
Yeah, so, you know, that if we don't get that, then we got to pay for diesel. It runs on diesel as well. There's two tanks. There's a switch on the dashboard. But yeah, I'm really proud of that because I think that more people need to know that you can run a vehicle off of waste vegetable oil, and that the diesel engine was designed to run on peanut oil by Rudolph Diesel, and so farmers could fuel their own tractors with their crops. So when you think of that, it just makes perfect sense, and it's like, why don't more people do it? You know, but we have to pay taxes on it, and we've definitely gotten into some situations where the police don't really understand what we're doing, and it leads to some hassles. But all
police
in all,
don't understand what you're doing, like out behind the place,
exactly.
taking people's uh-huh. home. You ever run into a situation where you think you're going to get vegetable oil, but there's like too many French fry parts in it?
Oh, yeah.
Does that happen all the time?
All the time.
That's really wild.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, there's all sorts of stuff in the grease. It's not a clean job. Let's just say that. You got to be willing to get your hands dirty. But, you know, the feeling of filling up a 75-gallon tank in the back and realizing, you know, I drove from Portland to San Francisco on one tank without stopping. And it didn't cost me a dime. And it was burning cleaner than the refined fuel would have. And it's pretty cool.
That's wild. Well, let's hear another song. I'm wondering, maybe you can play another song that's off this new record that's coming out, Wild Pack.
Okay.
Do you have something for us here?
I could play the song about San Luis Obispo.
Excellent. Good. And we can talk about that after. We're talking with Sean Spellman, who is the leader of Quiet Life. They're a band that has a brand new record coming out in October called Wild Pack. They're going to be touring with The Head and the Heart in October and November. They're going to be all over the place. He's also in Hartford shooting a video that we'll be talking about more at the Hartford Denim Workshop. Here's Sean Spellman from Quiet Life on Where We Live.
Go spinning round.
St. Louis Obispo, St. Louis Obispo.
Sean Spellman from the band Quiet Life with a song from a new record of theirs that's coming out called Wild Pack. It's coming out in October. He's live in our Studio 3 talking with us and playing some music for us here on Where We Live. Sean, tell me a bit about this record that's coming out. What were you trying to do with this record that was maybe different than your first record that you recorded back in 2011? What are some changes you were trying to make in your sound, if any?
The last record, we just made it completely live. So we just went in there and just banged out all the songs as a four-piece band with minimal overdubs, inspired by the band. You know, we just wanted to go in there and get the live show vibe. But on this last one, on Wild Pack, I wanted to utilize all of our friends in Portland, all the great musicians and the great community of musicians there. So it was different. We worked a lot of the songs out in the studio. A lot of them, you know, I had written in my room on the acoustic guitar and brought them in there. And, you know, there's a lot of organ and a lot of piano on the record, and definitely a different, just an all around different feel, which I'm real happy with the way it came out. And there's some songs that are, you know, that were done live too, but not as many.
Well, just to give our listeners a little bit of a sense of some of the different sounds, let's listen to a little bit of the first song that you released to the public. It's called Devil's Kin off of this new record. Let's just listen to a little bit of the sound, then we can talk about it. And that's a song called Devil's Kin from the brand new record coming out called Wild Pack from Quiet Life. First of all, I love the tune. And when I was reading a little bit about this, you were talking about wanting to put a little bit of Buddy Holly into it, and you hear it with a drum beat in the background. It's so cool. It sounds like a late 50s track.
Yeah, that tune was inspired by the 50s rock and roll vibe. And also, I was listening to that song Get Off My Cloud, which is an old Stones tune.
Absolutely.
So I wrote that song on the acoustic guitar, and we brought it into the studio, and just as a three-piece at first, we just you know, played it like really loud and really live, and that's definitely the most live tune on the record, which is cool.
It's live, but it has that kind of a little bit of an echoey sound to it. It sounds like it could have been a Buddy Holly record, but I also love, in that sort of old garage rock tradition, it kind of builds up to the point where then you get that hard downbeat coming once again, and it feels like it builds to a really good place before you hear a little guitar solo. I love the way it's put together, and it felt like you were channeling, you know, that 50s rock and roll. Is that something you listen a lot to? I mean, maybe you can talk a bit about some of the influences, the things that get into your head when you start writing. The various, you know, songwriters or musicians that you love.
Yeah, well, that record, it took us a while to make Wild Pack, and yeah. So I was listening to so much throughout that, you know, I think it took us about a year in between tours. We'd work on the record. And most of the time I was listening to Time Out of Mind, which is one of my favorite Dylan records. And again, it has a lot of organ and a lot of piano on it. It's a real dark record. But then, you know, I'm always listening to the upbeat Dylan and just everything from every end of the spectrum. But yeah, for that tune particularly, I think I had been listening to them, you know, like Van Morrison,
yeah,
and a lot of older, like 50s and 60s, just straight up rock music.
So, yeah, it's hard to get, was it GLORIA? Hard yeah, to get much better than that,
you
right?
Yeah, you really can't. But I think at some point in the studio, I was getting a lot of guff from the guys because, you know, it was kind of a, they thought it was maybe a little bit of a bummer of a record. And we really need something that cooks, you know? So you got to write more catchy choruses, man. Some fun choruses, and you got to write like some fat. So, you know, I was like, all right, let's just do it like this. And I'm really glad that I did. It's funny to listen to like some of the alternate versions or demos of these songs and be like, wow, this one really took a life of its own.
It sort of took a left turn from where you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, good left turn.
Yeah. So now you're working on solo music though too, right? And so are you putting together a solo record at this point?
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen with it, but yeah, I've been recording all winter and writing and stuff. So it may be a Quiet Life record. It may be a solo record. It may be pieces of it may be different records. So yeah, I'm just trying to stay busy. You know.
You recorded with a friend of ours, Eric Lichter, down at Dirt Floor Studios in Chester. This is, for people who don't know about this, this is an amazing kind of treasure trove of all this great analog equipment. He does it really, I mean, as old school as it can be done.
Yeah, for sure. He's got a lot of great gear. He's got a great space, or he's moving into an even better space, which I can't wait to see. Good dude. It was really fun. We did the first song that I played, Shaky Hand, we did with Eric, and he played some organ on it and just did it in a day. Pretty good. I've been recording at Tarkin in Bridgeport too, which is very similar. They got a lot of old, beautiful old gear, and Greg is a great engineer there. And it's been really fun. It's fun to come back, you know, to Connecticut and realize all these little hidden gems of things to do. Although Tarkin isn't very hidden anymore because they've been doing some really great stuff that a lot of people are enjoying.
Do you get perspective? You come back from the West Coast and you spend a little time here and like, well, you know, it is. There's some stuff here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you got to get out to appreciate your home. And that's definitely what's happened to me. And I've appreciated Portland by leaving there for a little while, too. It's just, I think that's just life.
So tell us, if you could, before we let you go, about this thing that you're doing at the Hartford Denim Company. What are you doing? This is interesting.
I'm actually really excited to check it out. I've been hearing so much about these guys. They're making jeans, you know, all American made. I'm assuming they're all done in Hartford and
Connecticut made. Yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, so I'm doing a little session called the Old Guitar, and a bunch of musicians have played this old, I think it's a Stella guitar, maybe.
Very nice.
And yeah, so I'm gonna play a couple songs on it in their warehouse.
Excellent. It, supposedly, there's a video being made that we'll get up on our website as well, WNPR.org. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's leave with one last song, if we could, Sean. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the song before we hear it, and then we'll play out with it. What are we going to hear?
Let's start with a little goofy country-ish one. It's called Housebroken Man. Thank you.
of my dreams went walking by. She's slaving in the kitchen, baking me a pumpkin pie. She's tumbling down the mountain at full speed. Yeah, taking care of me and my every need. And she's singing like the bluebirds always do. Till the day is through. Oh, well spoken house, broken man. He pays his dues and dead without a second chance. He's laying off the bourbon. Loving like a man was meant to do until the night is through, and she's singing like the bluebirds always do. Until the day is through.
That's Sean Spellman of the band Quiet Life. He joined us in our Studio 3. Coming up, we'll hear more about live music in New London. The IM Fest is coming up. We'll talk to Rich Martin from the Hygienic in New London. They've got a massive day-long music festival coming up. We'll get a preview where we live.
Yeah, no, it's time.
This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on Monday's show, researchers have long known the best way to learn is with a personal tutor, but tutoring is very expensive. Providing the benefits of tutoring to everyone hasn't been possible. Now experts say technology creates new ways for schools to customize education, so-called personalized learning. It's the subject of an American RadioWorks documentary called One Child at a Time, Custom Learning in the Digital Age. For our Labor Day holiday, that's what we'll be playing next Monday on Where We Live. Now, since we started our show, we've had a love affair with a gritty little seaport town of New London. In large part, it's because of the DIY vibe of its booming music and art scene. The latest big happening is IM Fest, happening September 7th in downtown New London. We're joined on the phone by Rich Martin, one of the founders of IM Fest. Of course, he's also with the Hygienic, where we've broadcast from in the past. And Rich, it's good to talk to you again.
No, thanks for having me back.
So how did the festival get started? What exactly is it?
Well, it's a big free outdoor fest. It was something that started about 8 years ago. Sean Murray, a local promoter, and I had both been working on different concepts to try to bring national acts into the downtown and get them coupled up with our local regional acts. And we sort of came together and created this festival called IM Festival, which is short for Independent Arts and Music, though most people forget that at this point. So we started about 8 years ago, and it's been growing ever since.
And this idea of bringing in national acts and then building local talent around it is something that you do very well. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, because there is such a big music scene in New London, and a lot of these bands play in and around town all the time, but you wanted to do more. You wanted to make sure that you were bringing in people who you don't get to see very often.
Yeah, well, we feel like we're sort of, and it's like this pertains to all of Connecticut. I feel like we have a very strong music scene here in the state, and often we're just overlooked on the national scene, and so many great bands come from here, and we just haven't found a way to get them up to that next level so that they're getting recognized on the national level. And so our thought was to try to bring in some of that national talent and get our own bands alongside of them and show people how, hey, this stuff is equivalent, if not better, and giving our bands an opportunity to shine next to some of the best.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the bands that you're bringing in. And I want to talk about your headlining act, or at least one of your headlining acts that you're bringing in, a band called Death. What can you tell us about Death?
Well, it's a pretty amazing story. It's kind of the story of the year, I guess, in a lot of ways. This band was a group of three brothers from Detroit who were playing the earliest punk form of punk music. I mean, it's that sort of gritty three-chord stuff that's got reggae in the mix and a lot of influences from outside, but it's bare bones and really simple and really driving. And these guys were some of the earliest progenitors of that form. Pre-Stooges, pre-The Clash, they were getting going in 1972. They've recently been rediscovered. A documentary was filmed about them that's sort of been making the rounds of the film festivals, and their music has been re-released by Drag City, a very big indie label, and people are falling in love with the band all over again. So it's a pretty amazing story that these their career is sort of blossoming 30 years later. Shows that you never know when your music's going to hit, but they put on a hell of a show, and we're pretty excited to have them in.
So maybe you can tell us about one of the local acts that you get to put up next to these national acts that you bring in. What's somebody you want to tell us about?
Well, gosh, it put me on the spot to name just one. You know, we just had Ellis and Jackson playing here on the Hygienic Art Park stage. This is a group from New Haven that's got a new record coming out called Do Not Fear to Kill a Dead Man. It should be out in a few weeks, and they're just really on the top of their game. So they'll be playing along with a bunch of other locals, including The Guru and Echo and Drake and Fatal Film and Daphne Lee Martin and many, many more at the festival. But some really great stuff and some great Connecticut bands on the bill. So.
I think we know Daphne Lee Martin a little bit. I think she's married to you, and we've had her on the show before.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to throw the plug in.
you definitely had to. So tell us again, if people want to find out more about IM Fest, or they want to get involved or be there, what should they know?
Well, they should know that it's free. It's just in downtown New London, so just come on down. There's five stages on the Parade Plaza at Hygienic Art Park, the Telegraph Record Shop, 33 Golden, and Oasis Pub. All of the band's write-ups and more and timing and all of that can be found at iamfest.org. It's iamfest.org. Pretty easy, and just come on down. It's going to be a beautiful day. There'll be a bunch of vendors and food trucks and sort of other goodies in the mix as well.
It's a good reason to get to New London on September 7th. Rich, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And you can stream the day's events at iamfest live on the New London Day website that day. Our program is produced by Tucker Ives with Betsy Kaplan and Heather Brandon. The senior producer is Katie Talarski. I'm John Dankosky. This is Where We Live.